NBC Monitor News on the Hour, brought to you by the Retail Clerks International Association, dedicated exclusively to the welfare of retail store employees. Now with the news, Jeffrey Pond.
Russia's leading space scientist today called the Apollo moon flight a great scientific conquest, congratulated the entire Apollo staff, and indicated that Russia has no plans for a similar flight. Professor Leonid Sadov said the Soviet Union will not send men around the moon in the near future. Interviewed by an Italian newspaper, Sadov said the Russians are putting their stress on unmanned scientific space vehicles to explore other planets, not the moon. And his words even seemed like a hint that Moscow is not planning to land men on the moon for quite some time. He said the United States might do it by next May. President de Gaulle of France has told President Johnson of the profound admiration that the Apollo flight has aroused in the French people. In a telegram to Mr. Johnson, de Gaulle called it a great step and a magnificent exploit. Meanwhile, astronauts Frank Borman, James Lovell, and William Anders are still aboard the aircraft carrier Yorktown, waiting to fly to Hickam Air Force Base in Hawaii. From there, they'll go on to the Space Center in Houston for more debriefings. Their initial medical exam showed they were tired, but in perfect condition. American officials in Saigon say they'll give thorough study to a Viet Cong offer to hold more face-to-face talks with U.S. negotiators on New Year's Day. The guerrillas apparently want to keep talking about releasing captured Americans and to add the subject of a Lunar New Year's truce. A Viet Cong announcement of a ceasefire on calendar New Year's Day was rejected today by the Allies, who said the guerrillas had violated the Christmas truce heavily and could not be trusted again. More news after this from the RCIA.
The retail store displaying the sign with the words Union Store printed on it informs customers that the conditions of store worker employment, salary, hours, on-the-job benefits, have been arrived at through collective bargaining in a union agreement. Employees have not always had a say in their working conditions. Before the advent of union collective bargaining, employees had no voice in the determination of their wages and working conditions. Times have changed. Some of these changes began in 1888 when a group of courageous retail store workers got together to do something about their working conditions. They formed the RCIA, the Retail Clerks International Association. Today, because of the gains made by the RCIA, its members work reasonable hours for good pay and with many on-the-job benefits. If you work in a retail store and would like more information, check your telephone directory for the Retail Clerks Union in your community, or write to the Retail Clerks International Association, Washington, D.C., 20036. Once again, Jeffrey Pond.
President-elect Nixon is meeting with his national security advisors today. Details from Herbert Kaplow, NBC News, at Key Biscayne, Florida.
President-elect Nixon has been conferring for about 2 hours now with his chief foreign policy aides. In Mr. Nixon's words, on decisions the new administration is likely to have to make in its first 90 days. The discussion is taking place at the Nixon Bayfront home on Key Biscayne Island, a few miles from Miami. Among those participating are Vice President-elect Agnew and the Nixon choices for Secretary of State and Defense William Rogers and Melvin Laird. They all posed for pictures just before the session started. Aside from discussing world trouble spots such as Vietnam and the Middle East, Mr. Nixon also told reporters there will be talk of the nuclear proliferation treaty, the anti-ballistic missile system. He added the talk will go beyond these subjects, but he didn't specify. Mr. Nixon did say there will be discussion of the organization of the National Security Council. Herbert Kaplow, NBC News, with the president-elect in Miami.
New York City's fuel oil emergency has improved. With Mayor John Lindsay vacationing in the Bahamas, a deputy mayor said New York is past the crisis point. 15,000 buildings left without heat after a recent oil truck driver's strike have now been supplied. But 13,000 others still needed fuel as of last night, and with the flu epidemic, the deputy mayor said the situation remains serious. The death toll in last night's plane crash at O'Hare Airport in Chicago has been revised down to 26, and now it's back up again to 27. Authorities now say there were 45 people aboard the North Central Airlines plane that crashed into a hangar while landing. 27 people were injured, including the plane's 19 other occupants, and 8 boys in a drum and bugle corps that was practicing in the hangar when the plane hit. Radio Peking got around today to announcing what the world already knew. Communist China set off another hydrogen bomb yesterday. It was China's eighth nuclear blast and second successful test of an H-bomb. An earlier one is believed to have failed. Reporting the explosion yesterday, American experts said it was detonated in the air over the testing grounds in western China. Once again, the hour's top story. A leading Russian space scientist says Moscow is not planning to send men around the moon in the near future and hints that a manned landing on the moon may not be an early goal either. Jeffrey Pond, NBC News, New York.
Listen again on the hour for NBC Monitor News. Everybody saddled up? Okay, then it's Hi-O Monitor! And away with Al Tiola and the High Chaparral.
What the worst is going on with?
In between two happy holidays, the Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, made merrier and happier by the successful and magnificent feats of the Apollo astronauts. I'm Gene Rayburn. Here's somebody else who wants to celebrate, Dana Valerie.
My mother said that little girls are made of sugar. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
My mother said my life will be a white ribbon. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And all my tomorrows are waiting in a line. Shimmering, glimmering, soon to be mine. My mother said, and she looks at me and she remembers. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday
to me.
birthday. Well, this is the season when traditionally people compile lists of the best of various categories, and although Monitor's film critic hasn't been with us long enough to acquire any strong traditions, he does have a list, so here's Gene Shalit.
Millions of children are still home from school on their Christmas vacation. Sometimes I think they're all in my house. And movies constitute an important part of their holiday entertainment. What a pleasure to take a kid to a movie where you don't have to tell him to cover his eyes during the good parts. Yes, Virginia, there are such movies. There really are good movies for young people. You just have to find them. One simple way is to look for a G rating in the ads. This means general audiences. Movies for general audiences aren't naked, and they're not obscene. In fact, some G pictures are so clean, nobody even takes off his coat, not even in the house. But that's the trouble. Clean isn't enough. What about boring? So you have to know if G means generally entertaining or if G means generally dull. Here's my one-minute shopping guide for holiday pictures for children. Take them, send them, anyway, let them see The Yellow Submarine. This animated movie, based on the Beatles, is one of the most joyous, inventive, jumping up and down, satisfying movies of the year. My 14-year-old son came home and said he wanted to see it every day for the next 2 weeks, and his younger sisters wanted to go back with him. I'll tell you something. Every time I see The Yellow Submarine, I notice wild jokes and designs I missed before. Then there's Funny Girl with Barbara Streisand. The first half is terrific. The second half you can skip. Maybe you can make a deal with the box office. Pay half price for Funny Girl and promise to leave at intermission. Very young children will adore Winnie the Pooh. That's Walt Disney's 23-minute animated featurette. Young boys, and that includes teenagers, will be knocked out by Ice Station Zebra, the Rock Hudson adventure movie. High school kids will certainly dig Romeo and Juliet and, of course, Space Odyssey. And girls have got to see the reissues of Gone with the Wind and West Side Story. G for general pictures that are clean but tedious are Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Finian's Rainbow, Camelot, and Star. To repeat very quickly, here are movies highly recommended for young people during this holiday season. For the very young, Walt Disney's Winnie the Pooh. For boys, Ice Station Zebra. For everybody, Funny Girl, West Side Story, and Space Odyssey. And that most rollicking of all pictures, The Yellow Submarine, under and out. This is Gene Shalit for Monitor.
Well, far be it from me to take issue with our august film critic, but I think we ought to mention that the villains in Yellow Submarine, a group of monsters called the Blue Meanies, might be upsetting for some of the younger children. Just might, that's all.
Now we've got the winners, and how Lincoln Mercury leads the way. We've got an all-new Montego this year. Nothing comes near. Stand up and cheer a winner.
Lincoln Mercury leads the way for 1969 with the beautiful new Mercury Montego, the winning intermediate from the makers of the Lincoln Continental. Montego.
Lincoln Mercury leads the way.
Montego, with the look that makes an automobile truly beautiful. See all the winning new Mercury Montegos at your Lincoln Mercury dealers.
How about some Monitor music by Sandler and Young?
Life is what you do. Life is what you do. While you're waiting to die. While you're waiting to die. Life is all the time. Goes by. Life is where you wait. Life is where you wait. While you're waiting to leave. While you're waiting to leave. Life is where you wait. You're lucky, wanting if you're not.
Close-ups of people and events here and abroad. A report now from Herb Kaplow, NBC News, with President-elect Nixon in Florida.
The President-elect has been conferring for a little more than 2 hours now with his chief foreign policy advisors. The conference taking place at one of the two Nixon Bayfront homes on the island of Key Biscayne near Miami. After posing for pictures this morning, Mr. Nixon said the meeting's main purpose was to consider the decisions that the new administration is likely to have to make in its first 90 days. Among those participating in the session are Vice President-elect Agnew and the men Mr. Nixon has chosen to be his Secretaries of State and Defense, William Rogers and Melvin Laird. The President-elect was looking tanned and relaxed, wearing a new checked sport jacket. He had a cut on his forehead, explaining he'd hit a cable as he and his son-in-law, David Eisenhower, were climbing to the crow's nest of a fishing boat the other day. Aside from talking a bit about today's meeting, Mr. Nixon, in answer to a reporter's question, was expansive about the recent Apollo moon flight, saying he'd probably watched more television these past 4 days than ever, seeing the flight's various phases replayed several times. He sent a congratulatory cable to Apollo 8 Commander Frank Borman this morning. The President-elect has been here since late Monday afternoon, using the relaxed atmosphere of Key Biscayne to meditate upon some of the many matters the President-elect must deal with. He's been swimming, walking along the sandy beaches, a devout believer that a president, or one about to become president, must be ready and rested both physically and mentally. Herbert Kaplow, NBC News, with the President-elect in Miami.
Monitors ring around the world, another in our weekend series of close-ups of people and events here and abroad. Say, the big event this coming week is New Year's Eve, and you can celebrate it in a big way with music that includes the rock, ragtime, soul, and swing styles by tuning into NBC Radio's annual All-Star Parade of Bands. You can welcome 1969 in from coast to coast, as it's played in by such great performers as the big bands of Duke Ellington, Lionel Hampton, Harry James, Lawrence Welk, and sung in by the New Christy Minstrels, the Kirby Stone Four. And then there'll be the Herbie Mann Octet and B.B. King's Quintet. Hey, there was a great story in the New York Times this morning about B.B. King, wasn't it? And there'll be a lot more, so remember, New Year's Eve, NBC Radio. Orchestra. This is Monitor, heard in Michigan on WFDF, serving Flint and the Saginaw Valley. A brief pause, and back on the weekend trail we go. Gene Rayburn, your faithful guide, companion, friend.
Don't follow this man's example. Listen, each night I empty my pockets of all loose change, pennies, nickels, and dimes, and put them in a coin bank. Then, once each month, I deposit them at the dime savings bank. By the time our young son is ready for college, we expect to have more than enough to cover tuition costs from odd change that would have been frittered away. We made it a trust savings account by naming our son on the account, so if anything happens to us, the proceeds will be payable to our son. That's just one of the many ways people are building fortunes at the dime savings bank. The big savings bank for all New York, where money doubles every 14 years before taxes based on the dime's latest dividend of 5% a year paid from day of deposit compounded quarterly. And here's an extra bonus. All deposits received on or before January 10th will earn dividends from January 1st. For postage-free forms to open your account by mail at the dime, write Trust Savings, WNBC Radio, New York, New York, 10020. That's Trust Savings, WNBC Radio, New York, New York, 10020. The Dime Savings Bank of Brooklyn is a member of the FDIC.
The name of the game is Fortune Phone, and you could be a winner. Learn how on WNBC Radio 66, New York.
This is Frank Gorin, WNBC News. It's 12:30, 35 degrees in New York and cloudy. The Viet Cong have offered to meet again with U.S. officials in South Vietnam to negotiate the release of three American prisoners. A similar meeting on Christmas Day failed to win release for the men. The communists have proposed New Year's Day for another meeting, but the U.S. hasn't yet replied. The Allies say there will be no ceasefire on New Year's Day. The Viet Cong are observing a 72-hour truce over New Year's, but the U.S. and South Vietnam say they'll continue to fight because the communists violated the Christmas truce more than 140 times. Communist China has belatedly announced the testing of another hydrogen bomb. Yesterday's blast of a 3-megaton device was detected by the U.S. Atomic Energy Commission, but the Chinese withheld announcement until today. It was Red China's 8th successful nuclear test since 1964. The blast was condemned by Japan. Japanese weather stations are checking for fallout that usually rides the jet stream from the Chinese mainland. A berserk gunman last night shot and killed three mothers in Elizabeth, New Jersey. The victims leave behind 10 children between the ages of 4 and 12. The killer is believed to be the estranged husband of one of the women. New York Deputy Mayor Robert Sweet said today the city's fuel oil shortage is past the crisis point, but he says the situation will remain serious as long as some families are without heat. Heating oil companies that were struck by Teamster drivers last week are catching up on deliveries. As of late yesterday, about half the 28,000 buildings that were without heat had received emergency deliveries. The drivers are working over the weekend. Long Island Railroad trains ran on schedule this morning. A threatened strike by trainmen was averted when President Johnson agreed to send a fact-finding commission to investigate contract differences. The trainmen are at odds with management over a new timetable that went into effect 3 days ago. The president's intervention automatically stays any strike action for a 60-day cooling-off period. If settlement is not reached during that time, the union is free to walk out on February 25th. The trainmen have submitted 47 demands. Apollo 8 astronauts Borman, Lovell, and Anders will set foot on the good Earth for the first time in nearly a week when they touch down in Hawaii later today. The astronauts will leave the carrier Yorktown at 5 o'clock this evening, stop over in Hawaii, and then fly on to Houston. Doctors aboard the Yorktown say each of the astronauts lost about 7 pounds during the round trip to the moon, but otherwise they're in excellent condition and in high spirits. Prague Radio says the Czech government of Premier Oldřich Černík will resign so a new government can take office by the 1st of January. The new regime is expected to be headed by Černík, but with a smaller cabinet to be announced later. A high-ranking Soviet delegation arrived in the Czech capital yesterday for meetings with leaders in Prague. The purpose of the meeting was not announced, but diplomatic sources say the Russians are probably looking into Czech plans to switch to a federal system of government. Talks between East Coast shippers and striking longshoremen broke up last night when both sides deadlocked on the key issue of containerization. The 8-day-old walkout has idled ports from Maine to the Gulf. Negotiations resume tomorrow. Drivers heading into New York today, alternate side street parking regulations have been suspended throughout the city. Taking a look at sports, a showdown clash between the number 1 and 2 ranked college basketball teams in the nation appears likely in the holiday basketball tournament in New York. In yesterday's first round, top-ranked UCLA beat Providence 98-81, and number 2 North Carolina outlasted 5th-ranked Villanova 69-61. North Carolina moves into tonight's semifinal round against St. John's, and UCLA meets Princeton. Looking at the weather, cloudy and becoming windy this afternoon with periods of rain, temperatures rising into the 40s. Tonight, cloudy, windy, and mild with periods of rain and a low in the low 30s. Right now, the temperature is 35 degrees in New York, and it's cloudy with periods of rain. This is Frank Gorin, WNBC News, and now back to Monitor.
We still have more to bring you. Just wait and see. More news, more songs to sing you. More comedy on NBC.
And you'd better believe it, I'm Gene Rayburn, and here at Monitor, the More Songs division leads off with more than the usual number of songs at one time. 2 at once in this case. The Alan Copeland Singers making a pair out of classical gas and Scarborough Fair. Other sports. Who's going to win tomorrow's National Football League championship game? For the answers, Monitor reporter Ken Niles spoke to computer expert Bud Goody.
Bud, last week you predicted 3 games for us: Dallas-Cleveland, Minnesota-Baltimore, and Kansas City-Oakland. Now, in the Minnesota-Baltimore game, you predicted Baltimore would win by 9 points, you and your computers did, but they won by 10.
Well, Kenny, that was a bit of luck, good luck, I would say. Using an electronic computer to predict pro football games gives you the most objective answer you can get to the question, who's going to win? In this case, we did a good job, and we had the winner.
Well, in 2 other games, Dallas-Cleveland and in Kansas City-Oakland, we had a few problems. You predicted Dallas in that game with Cleveland, and Cleveland won. In the Kansas City-Oakland game, you predicted Kansas City, but Oakland kind of squeaked by, I think, by 35 points.
Yes, they barely edged.
They certainly did. How do you explain that?
Well, the breaks, again, Kenny, it's the big play. It's the breaks in the game that make a winner. And the one most important play in football is the intercepted pass. In both cases, the interception played an important part. That interception is really a 14-point play. So you have the ball and I intercept. You've lost the potential seven, and if I score on that series, I've made seven. So it's a 14-point
difference.
That's
14 points right there. Bud, tomorrow in the NFL playoffs, we're going to have a game between the Baltimore Colts and Cleveland Browns. What's the most important statistic in this game?
Well, the two statistics, one on offense and one on defense. Punts is the important offensive statistic. Baltimore has only had to give up the ball 49 times on punts. Cleveland has given it up 63 times, so Baltimore has a big edge. On the defensive statistics side, it's the opponent passer tackle stat. That defensive front four of Baltimore has dumped the opposing quarterback 45 times, and the Cleveland Browns defensive front four has only gotten to the opposing quarterback 26 times. So give Baltimore a big edge.
Now, in the star column, for Baltimore, we've got Earl Morrow, and for Cleveland, Bill Nelson. How do they stack up?
Well, the passing accuracy statistics go to Baltimore. Earl Morrow, who has been passed from one team to another, is now passing himself, if I may say, to the most valuable player standing in the NFL. He's completed 55% of his passes, and Nelson has only completed 51%. The receivers, Mackey, is averaging 14.3 yards per pass for Baltimore, and Warfield and Warren. Warfield is averaging 21 yards a pass. You want to give Cleveland a slight edge there, but on accuracy, Baltimore gets the edge.
Okay, but the Baltimore Colts versus Cleveland Browns tomorrow, who's going to win?
It looks like Baltimore by 5.5 or 6 points, according to our objective computer analysis, Ken.
Very good. Now, Bud, on New Year's Day, NBC is going to be carrying the Rose Bowl game, which is Ohio versus SC. How does that look to you as a quickie?
Well, The big difference on offense is points per pass. Ohio State has averaged over a point and three quarters every time Rex Kern has gone to the air. And that's compared to Steve Soggy, the Trojans' passing quarterback, of a point and a quarter. So Ohio State has a half a point advantage on points per pass, which is an important statistic. The other and most important statistic in college football is rushing yards per game. The USC Trojans, with the Heisman Award winner O.J. Simpson, have averaged 219 yards per game on the ground, but Ohio State has averaged 306 yards. On the basis of this one statistic alone, I would say Ohio State by 10 points. However, when you consider the other dozen statistics involved, we will say Ohio State by 6.
Thank you, mathematician Bud Goody. This is Ken Niles, Jr. in Los Angeles for Monitor Sports.
So, there it is, eh? NBC, of course, will air the Rose Bowl game on New Year's Day, as well as the Sugar and Orange Bowl games. Also, the American Football League championship game tomorrow. And for a computer forecast on that contest, we'll return to Bud Goody later today. Title Rain in My Heart isn't a forecast of soggy singing. Au contraire, my friend, it means much better than fair. Here's Frankie.
My eyes are dry, my love. Since you've been gone, I haven't shed a tear. I'll never cry, my love, though every day seems like 100 years. For I'm just a fool who clings to his pride. But when I'm alone, I can hear the hear the sound of rain.
foul, you can count on the best in radio when you travel along the Monitor Beacon.
Now, in the grandeur of big screen projection and stereophonic sound, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents the most honored motion picture of all time, Gone with the Wind. The monumental drama and great love story set against the vast background of the American Civil War. Clark Gable, Vivian Leigh, Leslie Howard, and Olivia de Havilland star in the David O. Selznick production of Margaret Mitchell's Gone with the Wind. Now, for the first time in big screen projection and stereophonic sound, Gone with the Wind.
Now showing at Lowe's Showcase Theaters.
WNBC, Radio 66, New York.
Gene Rayburn once again, and next on Monitor, as a welcome change from all the adverse publicity our younger generation receives, here's a word about a group in Ann Arbor, Michigan, the Gillnet Gang, who described themselves as guerrillas for good. According to an assistant professor at the University of Michigan, who acts as a sort of unofficial sounding board for these youngsters, they try to cut through red tape to get things done they feel should be done. Examples: a bridge covered with obscene graffiti was painted over one night. A condemned house, popular with neighborhood children but dangerous for them to play in, was boarded over. Trash along the Huron River was picked up. On one occasion, however, they were overzealous, it seems, trimming a hedge they thought was hampering vision at a busy traffic intersection without the irate property owner's permission. Monitor isn't passing on the morality or legality of their actions, just passing the story on to you. Now, what do you think? Drop us a line. Now, the well-known Lawrence Gang, Mr. and Mrs. Stephen Eady, with one of their latest activities for the public's good.
Please take your medicine, dear world. Please keep your pressure down, dear world. Promise to thrive on each word your doctor speaks. He'll bring the roses back to your cheeks. For you've been a paladin and a brawler. Stick out your tongue and say, oh, world. We'll give you plasma and tonic by the spoon. So be a D-world. Take your medicine, D-world. Keep your pressure down, D-world. And get well soon. Please keep your fever down,
we celebrate the arrival of the new year in this country, we either spend the evening at home or a friend's home or, well, you know how we celebrate it in this country. But what about festivities in far-off Sweden? A report from Alan Simon, NBC News, Stockholm.
Many Swedes use this period between Christmas and the new year for any vacation time they might have left over. This seems to especially apply to government officials, plumbers, doctors, dentists, and others you usually need in a hurry. For the Swede who is not headed north to the mountains or south to the Canary Islands, New Year's Eve generally boils down to a choice between a party at home or going out to some hotel or restaurant. Swedish law is especially hard on people who mix drinking with driving. Getting caught by the breathalyzer test in a police roadblock can give you a New Year's present of several months in jail. A husband and wife going out for a Swedish New Year's Eve and some serious drinking are said to have two choices. Either they've ordered a taxi in advance to take them home, and if the cab has not been reserved by now, it's too late. Or the couple flips a coin to see who gets to drink at the party and who stays sober and does the driving. A practical advantage to this, say the Swedes, is that the sober spouse can also prepare a special Swedish breakfast early New Year's Day to help the pickle partner cure that hangover. The remedy? Lots of cold pickled herring with a large glass of Swedish aquavit, which is distilled from potatoes. Alan Simon, NBC News, Stockholm.
Sounds swell, doesn't it? That Swedish version of the hair of the dog that bit you, or fish in this case, sounds just swell, or does it? You know, it could be. It would result in something like the title of this song by Sue Rainey, Early Morning Blues and Greens.
A distant night bird mocks the sun. I wake as I have always done. To freshly scented sycamore.
Seconds of pure misery. The flu. It's going around. If the flu hits you, you're in for aches, pains, chills, and fever. Be prepared with Bufferin. Why Bufferin? Because Bufferin is the high-speed formula for the relief of flu miseries. Many doctors recommend it for minor aches and pains. And it reduces fever with the most effective fever reducer known. Bufferin starts its medication to your aches, pains, and fever in just 60 seconds. Bufferin. It won't upset your stomach the way plain aspirin can. If you ache with the flu, remember, of all leading brands of analgesics you can buy for minor pain, doctors specify Bufferin most. That's right. Of all leading brands of analgesics you can buy for minor pain, doctors specify Bufferin most. Bufferin, the high-speed formula for relief of flu miseries.
Say, do you know anything about machines? I mean, are you a do-it-yourselfer, or even better, a full-fledged mechanic? Well, then you can do a lot to repair the world for people who need your help via the Peace Corps. You can show them how to rig a motor to pump water or repair a tractor, things that can help stop hunger. Help gets the wheels going. Check with the Peace Corps, Washington, D.C. Montgomery there, and where have all the flowers gone? And where have all the minutes gone? This monitor hour is just about over. One last item just in from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, informs us that the board of directors of the International Swimming Hall of Fame have voted an unusual honor for the Apollo astronauts. Now, can you guess what it is? You can't, I'll tell you. A special citation for the highest dive in history from the moon right into the Pacific Ocean. Gene Rayburn looking for a towel after that one. More news, NBC Monitor News on the hour in a few moments.